Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the middle of the Amud. In our previous shir, we had discussed the concept of Shemei Kohenim. And our Gemara begins by further discussing this concept of Shemei Kohenim. Says the Gemara, Bominei Merchi Barabba, they asked Merchi Barabba, Shoma, somebody heard a bracha or tefillah that he's obligated in, v'loyana, and he didn't answer, mahu. So what is the halacha under those circumstances? Amalei, to which he responded, hachamaya, the chachomim, the sifraya, and those who teach children, v'reshe amma, and the leaders of Klal Yisrael, v'darshayu, and the people say, drashas amma. All of them equally said, Shoma v'loyana, if somebody heard something v'loyana and he didn't even answer, the loch is yoytza, his yoytza, the mitzvah, because of Shemei Ka'ina. Daruch HaNer tries to understand why does the Gemara go into all these details, Chachmaya, Safraya, all of these different people. So he explains, a Chochem is somebody who understands what people tell him, what people teach him, but he doesn't have the ability to understand by himself. Not like a maven, because a maven is somebody who's maven dover b'toich dover. And says so to a chacham, even though a person who's a chacham needs to rely on others to teach him, that is yoitz because of Shemei Kohenim. Safraya, that the rabbeim of the young children, so they spend most of the days listening to the way the children understood and learned the Gemara. But they don't have a chance to really learn that much themselves. Still says the Gemara that they're considered as if they're learning themselves because of Shemei Kohenim. Rosh Ha'am are people that are leaders of Klal Yisrael, but they're not really people who have a chance to learn, and even if they have the ability to lead people, other people don't have the same opportunities. So they're teaching us that everybody who's involved, Shemei Kohenim, they're Shonim, people who say drushas, so the other people who don't say the drusha are sort of upset that these people are saying the drusha, but we don't get an opportunity. Teaches us the Gemara that all of them, people who speak, as people who don't speak, were all considered Shemei Kohenim, that were actually participating in the mitzvah. And it manami Amr of Shemim Pazi, Amr of Shemim Levi, Mishum Bakapara, Nain Shemei Kohenim. How do we know that Shemei is considered Kohenim? The Ksiv, the Pasuk speaks about. Menashe was the king of Klal Yisrael for 52 years, and he was a big Rasha, and he did not allow Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. His successor was his son Amon, who also was a Rasha. After Amon passed away, Yoshiyahu, who was Amon's son, became king. And the Pasuk says, V'yas ha'yosh b'en Hashem. He acted the way he's supposed to act. And one of the things that he put into effect immediately was that they should refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. And when Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol went into the Beis HaMikdash to check what was needed, he found a Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written that was hidden in the time of Menashe, who had destroyed all the Sefer Torah. And he opened up the Sefer Torah, and the Pasuk says, Yoel Hashem v'smalkech ashetokam alecho al goyesh lo yedata. The Pasuk says that you and your king will be sent to Golus, to a nation that you don't know. He really didn't understand what it says in the Torah, so he showed it to Shafan HaSofer. And Shafan HaSofer reads these psukim in front of the king Yoshiyahu. And when Yoshiyahu heard what it said there, he ripped his clothing and he sent to Chulda Nevi'ah a question, what to do. And she responded that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends to bring Tzoros, unfortunately, to Klal Yisrael. But she says, she said to him, it won't be as long as your king. because you did what was right in the eyes of Hashem. You were humble in the eyes of Hashem. The pasuk says, "Kol divrei haseifa shekar melech Yehuda." And the question is, Yoshia, as we just said, was the melech Yehuda. V'chi Yoshia koron. Dan asked the Gemara, we don't find that Yeshua actually himself read the psukim. V'lei Shafan, as we just said, Shafan the Sofer, Koron, read them in front of him. D'ksiv, as the pasuk says, v'yikurei Shafan l'fnei ha-melech. So why is it considered as if he read it himself? From here we see Shemei Ka'inam. Asked the Gemara, but who says that Yeshua did not read it himself? The Dilma, what happened was, Basa the Koronah Shafan, after Shafan read the Pesukim, Koronah Yeshua himself read them. So we don't have a raya that Yeshua never read the Pesukim. Amar of Achba Yaakov answered the Gemara Lysaka that the Ksiv, because Cholda Neviya sends a message to Yeshua, Yan Rav Levavcha V'tikane B'nei Hashem, your heart was soft and humble in front of Hashem, B'shamacha, then she clearly says that you heard the words, not that you read them yourself. From here we see that he didn't read them himself, but even though he did not read the psukim himself, since the halach is Shemei Ka'ina, that's why it's considered that he read it himself. There's a very, very fundamental machloikis, as the Tzlach explains, between Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the concept of Shemei Ka'ina. Rashi says, let's say somebody is davening and the Shlich Tzibur is saying Kaddish, or he's saying Yeshmei Rabbah, and you're a Mil of Shemen Esrei, what should you do? So Rashi says you should remain quiet and it'll be considered like you davened, like you said Kedusha, like you said Yeshmei Rabbah, because of Shemei Koinam. Tosfos, Devarei Maskil Shama, disagrees. He says, if we're going to say Shemei Koinam, so it turns out that while you're davening Shemona Esrei, you're saying Kedusha. You're saying Yehei Shmei Rabbah. And one is not supposed to say Kedusha, Yehei Shmei Rabbah, obviously while he's davening Shemona Esrei, because it's considered a hefsek in a tefillin. Says the Tzlach, the machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos is a fundamental machloikus on how to understand Shemei Ka'ina. Tosfos' understanding is that Shemei Ka'ina is considered as if you actually articulated the world. And if it's considered as actually you articulated the words, so then you're not supposed to speak while you're davening Shemona Esrei. Whereas the opinion of Rashi is that even though Shemei Ka'ina gives you credit as if you said what, as if you said what you were supposed to say, but it's not considered exactly as if you expressed those words. And since it's not considered exactly as you express those words, there is no problem that you spoke, you said Kedusha, or you had Yehei Shmei Rabbah, whatever, while you were davening Shemona Esrei. This will be connected to another Machlokes Rishonim. Do we say Shemei Ka'ina regarding Hilchos Nedarim? Let's say somebody made a neder, and somebody else said Amen. Is it going to be considered as if I also accepted the neder? Because the Torah says, when it speaks about making a neder, levate b'sfosayim, you have to express your words. So according to Tosfos, that Shemei Ka'ina halachically is considered as if I express the words, that would be an acceptable way to make a neder. Whereas according to Rashi, it's not considered as if I exactly express my word, those words. It's considered halachically for certain areas as if it's good enough, but I didn't actually express the words, and since it's not that I exactly expressed the words, you cannot rely on Shvei Ka'ina for making a neder. Another question would be, if somebody comes to a shir, and he hears a shir, is he obligated to say Birchas HaTorah before he hears the shir? If we say that Shemei Ka'ina is exactly as if you're saying the words, so of course you would have to say Birchas HaTorah, because before you say Divrei Torah, you have to express the word, you have to say Birchas HaTorah. But if Shemei Ka'ina doesn't put you in the same category as if you exactly express the words, it's considered that you fulfill the mitzvah, says the Shalos HaTshuvos Elef L'cha Shloima in Or Chaim Sim Lamed Hey, according to Rashi, just like the halacha is, that if somebody is Maharir, somebody thinks Divrei Torah, he doesn't have to make Birchas HaTorah before he's Maharu the Divrei Torah. So too would be the halacha regarding Birchas HaTorah for listening to a shir. You would not have to make Birchas HaTorah because Shemei Kain is not exactly as if you said the words. Another question that came up is, can somebody be yotze, could Kohanim be yotze the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim when one Kohen says the brachas on behalf of all the Kohanim? Can we rely on Shemei Kohanah? According to Rashi, we could certainly not rely on Shemei Kohanah because it's not as if he's exactly articulating the words. According to Tosfos, perhaps not. But the Beis HaLevi says that even if we follow the opinion of Tosfos, for Birchas Kohanim, one cannot rely on Shemei Kohanah. Because there's a special halacha, says the Beis HaLevi, regarding Birchas Kohanim. And that is, the Torah says, the halacha tells us that the Kohen, the Gemara Masech, the Soita, the Afla, Metchesom, and Aleph, has to say the bracha, B'kol Rom. So even if Tosfos is saying that when I hear somebody else say something, it's considered as if I actually said it, it's still not considered to the degree that I said it B'kol Rom. And since the Kohanim have an obligation when they say Birkus Kohanim to say it B'kol Rom, it would not be acceptable. The Chazon Ish disagrees with the Beis HaLevi. And the Chazon Ish says that if we can rely on Shemei Kohanah, that it's considered as if I said the bracha. So if it's considered as if I, the other kind, said the bracha, if the first kind who is actually saying the bracha is saying it loudly, B'kol Rom, then Shemei Kohanah not only works that it's as if I said it, but Shemei Kohanah will affect that as if it's as if I said it, B'kol Rom. Amar Rava, Loilema Inish, when we're saying the bracha of Kohanah, the bracha is a halel, you should not say Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. So he says, Loi Lema Inish, a person should not say Baruch Abba and then stop and say B'Shem Hashem. Because if you say it that way, it's disconnecting between the Baruch Abba and the Shem. Ella, what he should say is Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem Ba'adadi. You should say it all in one sentence without breaking up in between. Because we want to show the proper bracha, the proper covered to the word to the Shem Hashem, says the Gemara. Similarly, Vam Rava Loilema Inish Yeheshmei Rabba. When a person is saying Amen Yeheshmei Rabba Mavorach, he shouldn't say Yeheshmei Rabba Vahada Mavorach and then separate between the Yeheshmei Rabba and the Mavorach. Rather, what he should say is Yeheshmei Rabba Mavorach Adadi. He should say it all together. The reason is because the Rishonim explained, Yeheshmei Rabba is a tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we're davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeheshmei Rabba, your name, Mevorach, should be blessed. And if we're davening it, so we have to say the tefillah in a way that makes sense. Others say, Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach, we're saying the Yeheshmei Rabba is Mevorach, and we can't therefore separate it. Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe, he called him Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Godel Hador, the greatest leader in every generation, is called Moshe Rabbeinu. Is called Moshe, just like Moshe was the leader of Klal Yisrael in his time. Shapa Kamrit, what you're saying correct? El Hosam, when you say Baruch Hashem, Abba B'Shem Hashem, and Hocha, when you say Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach, Afuke Milsaba, it's obvious that you mean to connect what you're saying. And since it's obvious that you mean to connect what you're saying, it's the conclusion of your sentence. So even if you separate and you break in between, Los Lombardi is no problem. We learned further in the Mishnah. Makav Shnaga, Lichbal Yichbal. Wherever the minig was to say a pasuk twice, that's what should be done. Says the Gemara Tani, Rebbe Koifel Dvarim. He used to say a number of psukim in the halal, the pasuk over. Rabbi Elazar bar Parta Moisif by Dvarim. Rabbi Elazar bar Parta said over the psukim more than Rebbe. Said more psukim over than Rebbe did. My Moisif, what were the psukim that he said that Rebbe didn't say? Amr Abaya, Moisif lichba me'otcha, from the pasuk oitcha kenisana lamata until the end of halal, he kept on repeating over. So the Pashpashat Rashi says, is because he didn't want to have that some psukim he repeated, and some psukim he did not repeat. So in order to make it consistent, he said all the psukim over. I saw that the Rashbam, in Masechet Psukim, Daf Kuf Yotes Amabez, Divrei Maskel Me'oitcha, has a different pshat in Rebbe Elazar ben Parta. He says, the Gemara says that Oitcha was said between Yeshua and his sons. As the Gemara explains, Oitcha Knisani was said by David HaMelech. Evan Mas Abanim Haisel Rosh Pina was said by Yishai. Meis Hashem Haisel Zois was said by the brothers of David. Zayim Asa Hashem was said by Shmuel. Amna Hashem Hashina was said by the brothers of David. On Hashem Atzlichna was said by David. Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem was said by Yeshai. Berchuchem Beis Hashem was said by Shmuel. Kel Hashem V'Yor Lanu was said by everybody. Isru Chag B'Avoysim was said by Shmuel. Keli Atav Aydecha was said by David HaMelech. Elkai Arabimech was said by everybody. And because every person said a different pasuk twice, and they want to show equal respect to all of these people, so they say all the psukim twice, not to single out that only psukim that certain people said twice were repeated and other psukim not. The way they made it was that everybody's psukim was said. Says the Gemara, Levarach Mevarach, the Mishnah said, when there's a minig to make a bracha on Hallel, we make the bracha. Amrabai, Loishana La'achrav. Our discussion about repeating is only the bracha after Hallel. Avil, fun of a bracha before saying Hallel, Asher Klisharu, Mitzvaysav, Vitzivano, Lekrois, a Hallel, Mitzvah Levarach. Everybody agrees that you have to make that bracha. Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Kala Mitzvah, Kula Mevarach, Ivelas Yasin. All mitzvahs before you perform the mitzvah, you should make a bracha. And here too, that says the Meiri, that in order to show that we want to make the bracha, that we're doing a mitzvah, we make a bracha to show that we're doing a mitzvah, to show that there's a concept of achana, a mitzvah. And we want to show it, and we want to show that we prepare ourselves before we perform a mitzvah. But here the Gemara uses the words, Oivel HaSiyason, and Oivel HaSiyason is coming to teach us that before you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. So the Sam Sofer asks, why does the Gemara use the words kol mitzvah? Why doesn't it just say when you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha? So Sam Sofer says along the line that we just explained that the purpose of making a bracha is that one doesn't just do a mitzvah without the proper preparation. So therefore, the Gemara uses the words kol mitzvahs. Any mitzvah, it makes no difference what type of mitzvah you're about to do. You have to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha before it to show that we're doing a proper preparation for the mitzvah. So, ask the Gemara, "Umay mashm the high lashon of the agdumi." Where do we see that the word lashon over means before? And many Rishonim asked the obvious question: why the Gemara says Kol mitzvahs mevarach leim oivel siyosin. All mitzvahs you should make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. To which the Gemara asks a question: how do we know that you make how do we know that oivel means before? So ask the Rishonim, shouldn't the Gemara have said Kol mitzvahs mevarach koidim siyosin? Everybody knows that the word koidim means before, and then there wouldn't be any question what oivel means. We wouldn't have any question. So Tosfos answers that we learn from here that you have to make the bracha immediately before you perform the mitzvah. Not just that you're supposed to, of course, make the bracha before you do the mitzvah, but it should be done immediately. But other Rishonim say just the opposite. They say that we learn from here that, of course, the bracha should be made before you make the mitzvah. But let's say you didn't make the bracha before you did the mitzvah. As long as you did the mitzvah, as long as you're still in the middle of performing the mitzvah, even though you should have made the bracha before you did the mitzvah, if you're still in the middle of performing the mitzvah, you could still make a bracha. So ask the Gemara, my mashma, the high oiva lishon dagdumi, where do we see that oiva means before? Omer Rav Nachma Yitzchak the Ksiv, the pasuk says, v'yartz achim yatz tach hakika, v'yavas hakishi. Yoyah ben Tzruya sent the Kushi to inform David that his son Avshalom passed away. And Achmiatz wanted to be the one to notify David because he thought that David would be very happy to hear that Avshalom, although Avshalom was David HaMelech's son, but he was his enemy, he had rebelled against him, that he had died. So Achmiatz ran ahead of the Cushi to let David HaMelech know, and actually David HaMelech was not happy to hear that his son died. Abaye Mahacha, the Pasuk says that when Yaakov went to greet Esav, he separated his family into two camps, and the Pasuk says, V'hu ova lefneihem, he went ahead of everyone. Ribai Sevim Mahacha, the Pasuk says, Mitzvah Hashem, when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, V'yava malch lefneihem, the Klaiso, when they're going to come out of the Golis, the Melech Mashiach will go in front of them, V'Hashem Baroshem, and the king will go in front of them. And that's why, from here we see that Oivra means in front of them. The Kappos Tamarim explains that we needed every Pasuk, because if we only had the Pasuk Achmiatz, because in that Pasuk, we don't see that it was close by. We see that he ran ahead of him. And we're saying that, we said a few moments ago, that the whole purpose of saying the word Oivr is that it should be close by. And the same says the Kappos Tamarim. The Pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov went in front of his family. So he might have been close to the family, but who says he was very close? But amidst Hashem, he says, the Pasuk of when we come in Mashiach, V'yava Malka Lefneihem, all of us will be right next to Mashiach as Mashiach comes, B'mehera B'yameinu. So of course the question that comes up, that Tosfos discusses, if the halacha is that we're supposed to make a bracha before we perform the mitzvah, so we know that as soon as we pick up the lulav, we're mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim. So what do we do? If we're going to make the bracha first, will turn out that we can't make the bracha before you actually doing the mitzvah properly. On the other hand, if you pick up the dalaminim and you have them all on your hand, you already mekayim the mitzvah as soon as you pick them up. So it turns out if you're going to make the bracha afterwards, the bracha will not have been recited over the siyasin. And because of this, Tosfos gives a number of approaches. Tosfos says that one should pick up the lulav, not yet the esrig, and make the bracha when you're only holding the lulav. Another option that Tosfos offers is when you pick up the esrig, you should pick it up upside down. Since the halacha is that one is not yoytze the mitzvah of dalminim, only if you take them derech gidilason, the way you pick them up, the way they grow. So if you're holding the esrig upside down, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Another option that Tosfos offers, that when one picks up the dalaminim, he should expressly have in mind that I'm not being yoytze the mitzvah until I make the bracha. So even though normally mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, and as soon as you perform the mitzvah, you have performed the mitzvah, but if you have expressly in mind that I don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah until I actually do it, then you're not yoytze the mitzvah, and that's what you should have in kavana. And then Tosfos says that even though we've learned that the nanuim that are done with the dalaminim are not essential to be mekayim the mitzvah, but still, one doesn't really fulfill the mitzvah until he did the nanuim. Because as we learned earlier in our perek, nanuim should be performed when doing a mitzvah. And therefore, Tosfos says, even though you picked up the dalaminim, you still can make the bracha before you do the nanuim. And says the Chayei Odin based on this, if somebody took the dalaminim and he forgot to make a bracha, can he still make a bracha afterwards? So the Chayei Odin says that you're not finished doing the mitzvah of lulav until you finished halal. Because halal, as we learned in our perek, is recited. And when we recite halal, we also say dura nanuim. So until you finish the halal, you're still in the middle of the mitzvah. Actually, the Bikurei Yaakov says that not only until you finish saying halal is it not considered that you finished fulfilling the mitzvah, and therefore you could still say the bracha? But the Bikur Yaakov suggests that even if you didn't say yet the Hoshanis, as long as you didn't say the Hoshanis, it's not considered as if you completely fulfilled the mitzvah. And since it's not considered as if you completely fulfilled the mitzvah, you could still make the bracha if you didn't say you had the Hoshanis. And this question is, to at what point is it considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah or you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, is actually very relevant to a different shaila. There's a famous question that was discussed by Reb Chaim Brisker, by the Brisker Rav, where somebody has two esrogim. One esrog is a kosher esrog, but it's not such a beautiful esrog. We know for sure it's not a merkav, but it's not such a beautiful esrog. The other esrog is a beautiful esrog, but we're not sure if it's kosher. And the question is, we're going to make the bracha on the dal minim. Which of the two esrogim should you use? So the Reb Chaim Brisker said that you first take the esrog, which there's a suffix on, if it's a kosher esrog. Because Reb Chaim Brisker explained, if I'm going to take the esrog that's kosher first, so I will have certainly fulfilled the mitzvah once I took that esrog. Taking the second esrog afterwards doesn't really mean anything. And therefore, since it doesn't mean anything at that point, you should first take that esrog first. That's the opinion of Reb Chaim Brisker. And therefore, take the esrog which there's a suffix on, but it's nicer, and memanushach. If it's a kosher esrog, so it turns out you fulfilled your mitzvah with a beautiful esrog, fantastic. If it's not a kosher esrog, so you didn't do anything wrong, and then you'll take the kosher esrog and you will fulfill the mitzvah with that one. However, many poskim find that approach difficult to understand, because if we have an esrog, which we have a shaila on the kashrus of that esrog, and that's the esrog we should make the bracha on, doesn't it make much more sense that we should make the bracha on an esrog, which I know is a kosher esrog? So, but Rav Chaim's explanation is very understandable, because Rav Chaim's saying once you took the dal minim, once you took the kosher esrog, it's too late. However, there are many achronim that disagree with Rav Chaim, and they disagree with Rav Chaim based on what we just discussed. Because the question is, at what point is it considered that you have fulfilled the mitzvah and there's no point in going further? Is it after you take the dal minim? Or, as we just explained, Tosfos and the Chayei Adam and the Bikur Yaakov are all of the opinion that one is not considered having completely fulfilled the mitzvah until after the Anuim. So just because you picked up the esrog doesn't mean you filled the mitzvah and there's no point in doing anything else, because you haven't done the Anuim yet. And of Halal, and as the Bikur Yaakov said, even of the Hoshanis. And therefore, because of that, they suggest if you keep on, you could take the kosher esrog first, you'll make a bracha on what you know for sure is a kosher esrog. What is the point of continuing? There is a point of continuing, because until you've completely fulfilled the mitzvah with all of the conditions that the mitzvahs, that the Torah tells us to fulfill, the halacha is one is not considered that he's done the mitzvah. The same question comes up regarding the tefillin that we put on every morning. When should we make the bracha? And here too, the Pesach says that you put the tefillin on your hand. The Pesach can say, the Magen Avraham says this, you put the tefillin on your hand and then you don't tighten it. You make the bracha, and after you make the bracha, at that point you tighten it. There's a very interesting question. If we're saying that all mitzvahs, you make the bracha before, so when one goes to the mikveh, when there's an obligation to go to the mikveh, and you make a bracha on going to the mikveh, so obviously you go into the mikveh, you make the bracha, and then you toivel yourself. But the question that many achronim ask is, what about a ger? Part of the geirus procedure is that the ger immerses himself. But a person, until he immerses himself, he's not a Jew. So his bracha, it doesn't mean, it's not a bracha. So what should he do? Says the Shach, that he should first immerse himself, then make the bracha. The bracha is not oivel siyosin. So the Shach says that the whole concept of making brachas is only midrabanan. And the same midrabanan who said that you should make a bracha before you do a mitzvah, those were the same Rabbanon who said that you can make, that a ger only makes the bracha after he immerses himself. Question that comes up also regarding Hilcha Shechita. Let's say an animal is about to be slaughtered. And there's a reason to be concerned that this animal is a treifa. And since there's concern that this animal is a treifa, we can't make a bracha, because the bracha we won't be able to eat from this animal. So the Ramah, quoting Anar Zerua, says that in such circumstances, you can make a bracha after the Shechita. Another place we see this is if somebody is washing his hands. When you wash Netilas Yadayim, we don't make the bracha before we wash our hands. We only make the bracha on Netilas Yadayim while we dry ourselves. But that isn't a compelling raya. The reason why that's not a compelling raya is because the niguv, one's drawing of their hands, is considered part of the bracha. And since that's considered part of the mitzvah, it's not, if you make the bracha while you're still drying your hands, but your hands are not completely dry, the halacha is that you're making an ovel siyasun before you finish the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. But regarding the ger, of course we should only make the bracha after he immerses himself. Actually, a meaning by many people is that when a woman goes to the mikveh, she should first immerse herself, make the bracha, and then re-immerse herself. And the same, the halacha is, the Ramah says that if somebody is shechting an animal, where he has reason to be concerned that the animal is a treifa, he should first shecht the animal, and if he sees that the animal is fine, then after bedikah, checking the animal and seeing that the animal is actually a kosher animal, he can make the bracha then. Certainly, if he's going to have other animals to shecht, it wouldn't be a shaila. Says the Mishnah, we know that Shemitah, we're not allowed to do business with Perish Shvius. We're not allowed to purchase Perish Shvius. So the question is, when the Shemitah year comes, what can we do? How can we purchase an Esrog? So says the Mishnah, Lekech Lulav Mechaveroi. If somebody's buying a Lulav, so Rashi says that the proper girsa of our Mishnah is not Halekech Lulav Mechaveroi, but rather what the proper girsa of the Mishnah is, Halekech Lulav Me'amaoritz. And therefore, since he's an Amoritz, we have to be concerned how to buy the lulav from such a person. Says the Mishnah, Lekech lulav mechaver b'shvius, noisnei esrog matana. Since I can't, as we just said, purchase the esrog, what should we do is, we should buy the lulav, and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem is going to explain, but why isn't there a problem of Shemitah on the lulav? I should buy the lulav, and I should take the esrog, and the seller of the lulav gives me the esrog as a gift. One may not buy with money an esrog in the Shemitah. Says the Gemara, Lo rotza litan lo b'matana. What happens, particularly if we're learning with Rashi's girsa, that I'm not buying from a chavra, I'm buying from Amoritz, and he doesn't understand this entire procedure. So lo rotza litan lo b'matana. If he doesn't want to give the esrog as a gift, mahu, what could we do? Amrafuna, what should be done is mavliya le deme esrog belulav. What he should do is that he should make up that he's paying more for his lulav, and since I'm overpaying for my lulav, then I'm going to get the esrog included with this. And as the Sfasemis explains, that this is not like the havlah that we normally have in Shas. What we normally have havlah in Shas is that Schar Shabbos. One is not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. So if somebody worked on Shabbos, what should he do? So the halacha is he should work during the week as well. And then when he's paying him his weekday salary, he will also pay him for what he did on Shabbos. Here, you're not allowed to pay for the esrog. Since you're not allowed to pay for the esrog, he overcharges for the lulav and doesn't pay for the esrog. Ask the Gemara, V'leisle behedja. Why doesn't he give him the esrog? That he should pay him for the esrog and why can't he pay for the esrog? Says the Gemara, "L'fish ein mosum d'mei shvius l'amoritz." We're not allowed to give the value of shvius produce to amoritz, and there's two reasons why. Rashi explains because we know that the Torah says that when it comes to shvius, you're only allowed to eat the Perish Shvius until the time of Zman Bir, as long as they're available in the field for the animals. And so too, if I pay for Perish Shvius, that money has to be used up before the Zman Bir. And we're worried that if I'm going to buy from them produce and I'm going to give them this money, that money has to be used and not be here by the time Zman Bir comes. And I'm worried that that won't be the case. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos therefore explains that the money halachas regarding the money of Shvius, we're only allowed to use that money to buy food and drink. You can't use that money for investments or for any other purpose. The Amaratzim are not familiar with that halacha. And since the Maratzim are not familiar with those halacha, that's why we shouldn't give them any money that they won't know how to treat with. Another pshat that the Piskei Rid suggests is that even if you're allowed to spend money on Perish Shvius, says the Piskei Rid, you're only allowed to, that doesn't give the Amoritz a right to work with his field during the Shemitah year or do whatever is normally done in preparing a field. And if I'm going to be allowed to buy an Amoritz from Esrig, from my Amoritz in the regular fashion, so the Amoratzim are going to treat their Esrig field during the Shemitah year like they treat it every other year, which of course is Usur. If they're going to have limitations, then they won't treat it that way. And that's why the Tosfos Rid says one is not allowed to buy directly Esrig of Shvius from Amoritz. So again, ask the Gemara, why don't we give the money for the Esrog directly to the Amoritz? Says the Gemara, as we just explained, the two explanations Rashi and Tosfos offered, well, we're not allowed to give money for fruit to an Amoritz in the Shemitah year. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, you're only allowed to give him the amount that he needs for three meals. Because three meals, Rashi says, akedei chayiv shel adam, because on Shabbos, you need to have three meals. So that's considered the amount that one needs to live on. And since that's considered the amount that one needs to live on, especially as I saw Mefarshim explain, Shvius is considered Shabbos. Shvius, the Torah calls Shemitah Shabbos. So that's why we have the halach of three meals. Nushachach, if the Chava forgot, the Amasa, when he gave to Amoritz more than that amount of money, Yomer, he should say, the kedush of that money should be transferred onto other fruit that I have in my home. And therefore that money, as we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow Shir more extensively, doesn't have the kedusha shvius anymore. There's an interesting question amongst the Achrayim. If this halacha that we just explained was only applicable when he did it b'shoigig, or even if this was done b'mezid, where somebody spent money for shvius produce, if he's allowed to do this after the fact. And those peiros that now, as we just explained, obtained the kedusha shvius, could be eaten. However, says the Gemara, b'medva mamurim, when is this special rule said? B'lekech min hamufkar. If the fruit that I bought was fruit that wasn't worked with during the Shemitah year. Av'lekech min hamushmer. If the fruit that I bought was fruit that was actually, the field was worked on in the Shemitah year, I feel like chatzi usur, under any circumstances, also you're not allowed to buy fruit from Amoritz under such circumstances, because as we learned, one is not allowed to do any work with the Shemitah produce, and therefore this is totally not acceptable. Maser Rav Sheshes asks Rav Sheshes, Umenam Mufkar Shal Sudas Vesulai, and if somebody bought from Amoritz Perish Shvius, which he did not work with in the Shemitah year, I could only buy the amount that I need for three meals. Bramini asked the Gemara, hapigam, that a type of unripened fruit, ve'erbuzin, hashetin, a type of a vegetable, which is asparagus, v'chal galois, v'kuzbur, shebaharim, v'karpas, leek, v'naharis, that grow near the river, v'gargol shall offer something called racket, all of them are p'tur min ha'maiser, v'nikachim mikol adam b'shvius, they may be purchased from anybody in the Shemitah year, v'fish ein k'yoyetz b'am nishmar. Because these are not the type of fruit that or vegetable that anybody carefully watches. So we didn't see that. So here we're seeing that even though what I'm buying is hefker, I don't have the limitation of buying only the value of three meals. I could buy as much as I want. Answers the Gemara, who meisvloi, who mefarklei. He asked the question. He answered, b'chtei mon shanu. He only bought the amount that you need for three meals. V'chein omer Rabbi Rabbechana, this pricer that's being lenient and allowing me to buy fruits and vegetables that I know for sure the Amorites did not work with them during the Shemitah year, only b'chtei mon shanu, the amount of three meals. Ask the Gemara, my mashma the haimon lishtin the mezonihu. How do we see, from where do we see that when we use the word mon, it means the amount to eat? The ksiv, the pasuk says that at Nebuchadnezzar prepared for Daniel and his colleagues, the Yimen Lam HaMelech, he prepared for them every day food and wine to drink. So we see that the word the Yiman is a lashon of mazon. And the pasuk is teaching us, and now we're learning that that's the amount you're allowed to buy. So of course, the Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara use the word the Yiman, which means that, and then we have to figure out that the Yiman means food, why didn't the Gemara just use the word mazoin? And we know that the word mazoin always means food. So I saw that the Aruch Lener answers that if you say the word mazoinus, we wouldn't know that it means just three meals amount. Mazon means as much food as I want. But we're learning, and we just, that's the whole point of this piece of Gemara, that you're only allowed to buy the amount that's absolutely necessary for three meals. So that's why the Gemara didn't use the regular lashon of Yaman, of Mazon. That's why the Gemara used the word Yaman. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're going to learn that that's the case, that our Mishnah is speaking about Shemitah year, so, and therefore I can't buy the Esrig, a Shemitah Esrig, so why are we only worried about the Esrig? Why are we not concerned about the Lulav as well? Yehochi asked the Gemara, Lulav Nami. Answers the Gemara, Lulav Bashishis HaNichnas L'Shviyasu. As we're about to learn in today's shir more extensively, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, in tomorrow's shir, when we speak about produce, there are two times that we have to be familiar with. There's the Zman HaChanoto, when it blossoms, and the Zman HaLakita, when the fruit, the vegetable, is picked and brought into the house. The halacha is that sometimes the Zman HaChanoto is the critical time to pay attention to, and sometimes the Zman HaLakita is the critical time to pay attention to. By peiros, by fruit, normally it's the Zman HaChanoto that's the critical time. By vegetables, it's the Zman HaLakita. It's the time that we pick the vegetable. Because the Torah says, Be'ospecho, Be'garncho, U'me'akvecho. So we learn from there, Dogon and Tirosh, wine, oil, grow from the tree. So there we follow the time that something that grows from a tree, we typically follow the time that they blossom. Vegetables that grow from the ground, that need a lot of rainwater, we follow the Zman HaLakita. So here, we're talking in the seventh year. It's the seventh year, and the Lulav and Esrig that are being discussed in our shir were picked in the seventh year. But the Lulav that was picked in the seventh year blossomed in the sixth year. And by a Lulav, we follow the Zman HaChanoto. So since it blossomed in the sixth year, it's not considered a Shemitah Lulav. Whereas the Esrig, as we're going to learn in our upcoming shir, we follow the Zman HaLakita. So even though that Esrig blossomed in the sixth year, but it actually was picked in the seventh year. So that's how we have the case of our Mishnah, that the Esrig is a Shemitah Esrig, but the Lulav, since it blossomed in the previous year. And blossom means the year where the fruit blossomed and then the blossoms fall off. It's considered a sixth year fruit lulav tree and doesn't have the restrictions of Shemitah on it.